This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. The movie Black Panther has been wildly popular and sparked conversations about the power of Black role models on the big screen. Here's a perspective you might not have heard yet. My next guest says Black Panther is a science superhero movie with the potential to inspire a new image of science and scientists. Clifford Johnson is a professor in physics and astronomy at the University of Southern California. He has served as a science consultant for other superhero movies, including Agent Carter, Avengers Infinity War, and Thor Ragnarok. And he recently released his own graphic novel about the nature of the universe called The Dialogues. Clifford, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
It's a pleasure to be here.
For those who are not familiar with the character and the story, tell us about Black Panther, T'Challa the scientist.
Well, one of the things that's quite remarkable about the Black Panther character, which first appeared in the mid-60s, was that he was an extraordinary scientist as well. And that was very interesting in the time because, of course, he was also the first major mainstream comics black superhero, and then he was from this mysterious nation that then began to sort of have this impact on the Marvel Universe at the time, which up until then had these major scientist characters like Reed Richards of the Fantastic Four and Tony Stark and people like that, who were you know, the big shot scientists. And so this was sort of very unexpected that you had this other character who was hugely accomplished as a scientist as well, and used that to solve problems and defeat major enemies in the Marvel Universe.
You mention his half-sister, Shuri, who is, by all accounts, even more brilliant than he is. I've heard it described as she is to Black Panther what Q is to 007. You know, it's really interesting when you look at women of color in science and the fact that they face the combined impacts of both racism and sexism. We've seen the number of white women in science growing, but not necessarily the same for women of color. How important do you think that character is?
I think the Shuri character is fantastic. Again, she became very well developed in the comics, you know, in later years. But you know, having her a major character in a film like this, you know, is additionally very important because you see that, first of all, it's not just T'Challa, the king, who's the Black Panther, who is the accomplished black scientist, but his whole culture is based on accomplished black people doing scientific breakthroughs in order to make, you know, their world work so well. And you see his sister, Shuri, alongside him, helping him do all the things that he does. It shows that being an accomplished scientist isn't just a sort of singular thing that can happen to one or two extraordinary people. It can be a way of life. And so you can really see that this is hugely inspiring to get people engaged in science from all walks of life. I think it's a tremendous opportunity in popular culture.
Given that our stereotypes of scientists tend to be, you know, Einstein or a socially awkward person who doesn't know how to brush their hair and dress themselves, do you think viewers will even recognize the characters in Black Panther as scientists? And is that important? Does it matter if people consciously recognize that these people are scientists?
I'm very happy if they stop associating an accomplished person doing science with the other stereotypes. Those stereotypes are fine in the sense that there are people who are socially awkward and nerdy and what have you who do science, and that's great, but there's room for more kinds of people. So I think they'll see in the acts that these people are doing, in what's coming out of their mouths, in terms of the thoughts that they have and express and the things they build and design and analyze, they'll recognize that as someone doing science. And if they don't necessarily see it as the kind of scientist they're used to seeing, I think that's a positive.
I'm talking with astrophysicist Clifford Johnson of the University of Southern California about Black Panther, a science movie. You have consulted on other superhero movies as a science consultant. What do you see that's different about Black Panther in terms of its potential to inspire interest in science and how science is involved or portrayed in this movie?
It's rare that you get a movie where you're seeing, first of all, even maybe more than one major character who has some connection with science, who's a scientist or what have you. You know, typically you get someone who's maybe one or other of the usual scientist stereotypes being this sort of singular individual that helps move the story along but isn't really central to the story. So every time we get one of these films, and there have been a few but not enough, we get one of these films where there are multiple modes of science on display, accomplished people doing science, all kinds of different kinds of people, and also showing how you collaborate, how different people work together, because science is intensely collaborative. These are things that don't get shown enough on screen. And so I think that Black Panther is an opportunity for people to see a different aspect of science, different kinds of people doing science, different ways the science is done. And in a lot of the other Marvel movies, the science has been there, Iron Man and Ant-Man and characters like that. You see scientists or engineers doing various things, but it really hasn't been anything more than the usual sort of one person just sort of who's a genius just doing it all themselves. So this is quite significantly different.
When we talk about images of scientists, whether it's in a movie or on TV or, you know, anything in pop culture, we're often very concerned with how that might inspire or influence potential scientists, young people who want to become a scientist. But given that our society faces so many challenges right now that could be solved with technology, and that technology is such a huge part of our daily lives, how important is it, do you think, for everyone, whether or not they want to become a scientist, to get these images and this exposure to the scientific process and the potential diversity and usefulness of science?
Yes, I think it's extremely important to realize that those of us who want to see more science out there in the culture, and that's the way I like to put it, science is part of our culture, are not trying to make everyone into a scientist, a career scientist. That would lead to a very uninteresting world if we're all doing the same thing. So the idea is that we should engage with science because it's part of our culture, but it's also part of our democracy to be able to do so. If you think about it, major decisions about energy, about climate change, about health, about the air we breathe, the water we drink, all of these things are based on someone making decisions about science. And if we start to leave those big decisions to the experts, we're not really taking part in our democracy. And so we should all be at the point where we are free to be comfortable to talk about science. Even if we're not going to be a scientist, we should be able to assess the nature of an argument, its scientific validity, things like that. Just be literate in the same way that we think it's reasonable that everyone should be able to read. Everyone should be able to do basic arithmetic in order to tell whether you've gotten the right change at the grocery store. Well, some basic understanding of science and comfort with science, and importantly, comfort with those who do science, so they're not considered to be, you know, those weird people. They're just regular people like us who happen to do that as a career. So that increased comfort with science and familiarity with it in our everyday lives, like other aspects of the culture, I think is extremely enriching as a society, as a country, and helps us all move forward in a more equal way.
You've recently released a graphic novel called The Dialogues, Conversations About the Nature of the Universe, a book that you have written and illustrated, I understand, over a rather extended period. What are you hoping that book can do in terms of exposing perhaps a new audience to science?
Well, it's about, again, participation. The way the book is written is somewhat different from the kinds of books someone in my field is sort of supposed to write, as it were, in that you're not necessarily getting the voice of the expert telling you how to think about various topics in science. And there's nothing wrong with that kind of book. But what I wanted to do instead was have you witness something else that I think is great that does go on, which is conversations between ordinary people out there in the world in ordinary settings about science. And it's sort of a celebration of that kind of conversation. It's a different way that you can engage with the science ideas. You're kind of eavesdropping on the conversations. And it's also sort of an invitation to maybe have a conversation about science yourself. So it's a different way of doing a modern science book about science ideas, but I hope people find it engaging. You're kind of looking at the people, having the conversation, and you're sort of wondering who they are and how they came to meet each other. And you're seeing familiar environments in which they're having the science conversation as well.
Clifford Johnson is a professor in the physics and astronomy department at the University of Southern California, author and illustrator of the graphic book The Dialogues, Conversations About the Nature of the Universe, and he has served as science consultant for multiple superhero movies. Cliff, thanks so much for speaking with us.
It's a pleasure.